Amen. You may be seated. We're going to add a new element to Wednesday nights. The element will come right now. This is where it'll be. Go with me and you'll say, why do we do it? You'll know why we do it. And we'll do it until God says stop doing it. Go to Romans 10, chapter 1. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Paul here says, you know, so much we do, and I don't want to say so much, but much we do, and we wonder why we do. But Romans 10:1 says, brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God, for them is for their salvation. We're going to pray for lost people. And you say, well, who are we going to pray for? We're going to pray for lost people. You guys know. And we're going to call them out. We're not going to call out last name. We're going to call out first name only. And we're not going to think name. We're going to verbalize name. We're just going to be, this is what it's going to sound like. Mark. You're going to hear a name come out of your mouth because God hears it. Brother, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is salvation. Before we go there, before we say them, I want us to think. And my prayer around the room, Holy Spirit of God, right now, move on your people to bring to their memory co-workers. They're not going to hear this. Family members, classmates, people you just know, relationships that you have, maybe somebody that sits around the Thanksgiving table, Christmas table, somebody that you know, and you say, well, how do we know? Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. We're fruit inspectors. We can judge fruit. And there's some people that just straight up tell you, I'm a lost person. I'm not a believer. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a follower of that Jesus like you are. Are names coming to mind? Are people coming to mind? Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is for their salvation. I want us to take them right now. Call them out. Call out names. Who are they? First name only. Don't give last name. Who are they? Go. Could be a classmate you graduated with many, many years ago. Hadn't seen them in a long time, but you just know they're lost. Who are they? First name only. God hears you. You say, who in the world am I? The Bible says fervent prayer of a righteous man does something. Before I preach on Wednesday night, we're going to pray for lost people on Wednesday night. Anybody else? First name only. Somebody? Maybe a worker, co-worker. See, and here's the thing. The only thing being recorded is this. They're not hearing. They're not watching. They're not seeing you. But the Holy Spirit sees and He hears. Anybody else? Lord, you know who they are. You heard every name that was mentioned. You heard every name that was laid at your feet. God, we pray our heart's desire and prayer to God for these individuals is their salvation, God. Draw them to yourself, Holy Spirit of God. Begin even now softening the hearts of these individuals, Lord. Put somebody in their path. Let them hear a sermon on the radio or hear a conversation, Lord. We pray that they may even read a devotion or something. Why be just flipping through the channels late at night and go across and hear a sermon. Lord, something. Maybe accidentally just trip upon an old Billy Graham crusade sermon being played late at night. God, convict them. We pray right now, Lord, for their souls. God, all these names, I don't know these names. God, the people around us don't know these names that were called out. It's just people, but every name is a soul. Every name is a mama, daddy, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, niece, nephew, son, daughter. They're people we know, God. These are individuals who the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then there's going to be a judgment, and God, the best that we can tell by the life that they're living or the words from their very mouths as they do not know you as Savior. Lord God, if there are people watching out there even now and listening even now that have never trusted you, why not right now surrender your life? Trust Christ. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord to be saved, quit running, stop running, whoever you are, and simply surrender, cry out for forgiveness. And the God of this universe, this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who spoke out of nothing all, will forgive you, and you can have a relationship right now by faith in Christ alone, not by works, not by your effort, but by your genuine, simple, childlike faith. God, you've heard the names. We lay them at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Trusting God with the essentials. If you've got your Bibles this afternoon, I want to invite you to go with me over to Matthew. Worry is going on in our world. Worry is happening. People are concerned. It's interesting. I have what I would probably consider a rather conservative Facebook friend group, and it is not a positive one right now. It is not an optimistic friend group right now. It is a negative, pessimistic, what is the future going to hold? Everybody, it's amazing how bunches of them were posting, all right, this is Biden's first day. Gas was this price, bread was this price, stamps was this price. Who saw that one today? Who forwarded that one today? Got one honest person back here. We don't know what it's going to look like. And there's a lot we can't control. But there's one person we can control. As for me and my house, Wendy, come stand. Just stand. You ain't got to say nothing. You ain't got to dance. You're just going to have to. This is all I got in the room with me right now. So I just got Wendy. As for me and my house, and I got youngins in the rest of the building. I can't help what goes on outside the hill. I can control what happens on my hill. I can control my tongue. I don't do too good, do I? I can control my tongue to the best of my ability. My eyes, my ears, my feet, where they go, my hands, what they do. And every single one of you, cool part about Wednesday night, a lot of couples, not all, but a lot. Put your arm around him or her. Do it. Do it. There she is. Feel her. There she is. Some of you don't have her close by, but there. Oh, that is cute. It's like a Valentine's Day now all of a sudden. If you got them, great. If you don't, I understand. Outside of that, y'all, there's a lot we don't have control over. And we get worked up over what we don't have control over. Trusting God with the essentials. And I thought about this week. Yesterday I was over in Ephesians, or Philippians. One of them says, be anxious for nothing, but with everything, with prayer and supplications. And thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I don't think you can find a request any more in the center of God's will than, Father God, there are people that I love that are lost. Please save them. That's as in the center of God's will as anything I know. But over in Matthew chapter 6, essentials. You know, you get here, anxiety, worry, fear, doubt, all those things. Verse 25, Matthew 6, 25, we're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. Jesus preached it. And he says this, he says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life. You can stop there, and you can not get to the essentials, you can not get to the what you're eating, what you're drinking, and what you're wearing, the basic fundamental needs that we have. And I thought about it. I'm like, you know, he didn't talk about transportation. Why back then? What was their main transportation? Feet. He didn't say, Lord, give me a new car, or keep my car running forever and ever. Lord, we worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. He didn't talk about housing, did he? What is a lot of them when they're traveling around, when they got so far, they just kind of took their coat and threw it over them and fell asleep and got tired of sleeping, got up and got back in their car and walked further, Flintstone style. The essentials. Think about the essentials God gives you. Do not be worried about your life. Right now, there's so many Christians up in a tizzy about what's going to happen. Is this not the first time the conservative party, the conservative, more conservative, currently more conservative wing of our two wings was not in power? And guess what? We're still here. Remember that whole breathing exercise we did Sunday? We're still here. We made it. If we look back at the goodness of God, if we look at His faithfulness yesterday, then that gives us a really good understanding of how His character doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's God yesterday. He's God today. He took care of me yesterday. He must be going to take care of me today. We got to hear that and be reminded of that. Trust in God with the essentials. For this reason, I say, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You say, Brother Shannon, this is stretching. This is out of context. Not really. And here's why. If He takes care of the simple things, don't you think He's going to take care of the big things too? He always has, hadn't He? He does a pretty good job of taking care of things, don't he? He's got a good track record of handling stuff. How many times have you read this chapter? How many times have you read the Sermon on the Mount? How many sermons have you heard on the Sermon on the Mount? But I can tell you this, never heard it after inauguration, during a pandemic, after a hotly contested, whatever you want to call election. Have you? No, it's amazing, isn't it? Same verses that we sat back there and talked to the kids about. And here's what we talked to the kids. Look at how God takes care of the birds, and we bring cute little birds in, and we show them, look, and we bring our little cages to elementary Sunday school classes, and we bring bigger stuff to youth classes, and we show them feathers, and we show them all the beautiful colors, and we say, look, God takes care of them, and we show them bird seed, and we show them bugs and roaches and crickets and worms, and we say, that's just how God works. Come in here to the big church with big people and big group, and we say, guys, He's the same God. He's not on vacation. He's not on a 4-year vacation. He's not on, he wasn't on for the last bunch of months of vacation. It wasn't an oopsie. He's in control. Look at the birds, 26. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into your barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Everybody stop and look up, because the next is the punch in the gut, and it's the reminder. It's the, oh, yes, you're right. I forget that. I cannot tell you how many times before I stood in a pulpit, I've walked around the church and I've walked around the building and looked out, and you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for birds. I cannot tell you over the bunch of years I've preached how many times that I've walked around, especially on a Sunday morning, and I've looked for a bird. And it's that little bitty thing just I need. You're still taking care of them, aren't you? Because if you're still taking care of them, the Bible says right here, He says, are you not worth much more than they? I can't tell you the number of times I've sat in the foyer as the music is played and watched the birds just eat. And I'm like, wow. I'm about to stand before your people and feed them your word, just like here you are standing and you're feeding your birds. Chapel Hill in 2021, are you not worth much more than them? Preached in the past about that when I've hit coming to church. I've preached in the past about that little one that, you know, you just want to miss, and all of a sudden he's like, and you splat him. You ever splatted one? God loved that one. I don't understand it, but God loved that one too. Fed him up till I hit him. Are you not worth much more than them? He sustained them. He took care of them. Guys, we look around us. Look at what he's sustaining. Look at what he's taking care of. Hamilton was sitting in the house the other night, and he was holding Gage. Gage, we got a little Maltese. Aggravation. Let me tell you something. If you want a hunting dog, you don't want a Maltese. If you want a pointing dog, a hunting dog, a sniffing dog, a protect dog, unless you're Forrest, he's bit Forrest every time Forrest comes in our house. He literally bites Forrest. But he don't do anything. He's useless. And it just hit Hamilton all of a sudden. He was sitting there on a recliner, and he was holding this thing, and he's like, it does nothing. You've seen it. It does nothing. It just exists. I'm like, it's like a roach. It's a fuzzy cricket. It's just there. But it's so dependent on us, guys. It's a good picture. That woman would kill over that little dog. And you know what I'm talking about yours too. Are we not of much more value than they? Think about it. Verse 27, and who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? I didn't make that one up. Y'all read that one. Everybody look again. Look at verse 27. You may need to hear that again. You may want to just read it. It's up there or it's in your lap. It don't help. Don't change anything. Don't fix anything. Don't make anything go away. Doesn't stop anything, doesn't change outcomes, doesn't change elections, doesn't change who's in the White House sleeping tonight. But there's some people currently, and right now, at this very moment, at this intense moment of life, they are all upset. I guarantee you, Trump and more Mar-a-Lago or whatever, there versus the old, I've been in the White House. It's just cold looking. I mean, you have to cut the heat on. Versus where Trump's probably sleeping right now. I mean, think about it. He's okay, everybody that's worried about him. He's not going to starve. He's still a multi-billionaire. But we're like, he's going to starve to death. No, he's not. And you know what? The sun will come up tomorrow. There's people need to hear that. Have you ever got down like got so upset? It's like can it get any worse? Can. But worry and don't fix it. And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to your life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow; they do not toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? You know, Jesus, the you of little faith, he'll talk to his disciples and he's like, you of little faith, he'll be correcting them, and then he just punches them. Oh, you of little faith. That's what it takes, is faith. He has taken care of us to now. He's going to continue. And you know, I am using the election because that is the public thing. But there's things going on in your life right now, at work, at home, in your physical health. Some of you's got doctor's appointments and got tests to coming and got situations a happening, and you got work stuff going on, and you got reports due, and you got quotas to meet, And some of you are dependent on other jacklegs to make things happen, and you're like, ah, and you just want to crush something. It's not just elections we get caught up in, it's life we get caught up in. Our children do ridiculous things. Our grandkids do ridiculous things. Our parents do ridiculous things. Sickness comes. Pain comes. Pain's coming. Did you notice how pain came and now pain is coming again? It just, life happens. Don't worry about it. Just kind of live it. Kind of take care of what you can take care of in the middle of it. Oh, you have little faith. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God with the temptation has given you a way of escape. Worry is a temptation. Everybody else is panicking. Everybody else is jumping. Everybody else is, oh my. Our way of faith, our way of escape is, look, God, I trust you. I trust you not just with my soul for eternity, but I trust you with my today. I trust you how you're going to lead us as a church through a pandemic. He's asked you to pray so many times about this whole class situation. Oh, you a little faith. We just got to trust him. It comes to a point to where we've prayed. We just got to step out and trust God. He's going to take care of it. There's going to be some hiccups, but you know, if we just do what God's telling us each individual to do, there goes the hiccups. Trust him. Oh, you have little faith. Oh, us of little faith. We see the birds, we see the flowers, we see how he's taken care of it. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Do not then worry about what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Look at the part B of 32. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You know one thing that most of your kids probably never do? Is hand you a grocery list. My kids have yet to walk up to me and say, okay, y'all, here's the grocery list. Y'all go buy this. Have they? Unless you just got a very unique son or daughter. They just trust that, hey, they're going to go to the cupboard and guess what they're going to find? They're going to find groceries. They're going to find snacks. They're going to find bread. They're going to find meat. They're going to find peanut butter and jelly. They're going to find cookies. They're going to find beanies and potted meat and Spam and devil's ham and the good stuff. That's real food. That's South Alabama food. I don't know if y'all eat that in Northport. That's real food. That's true. Guys, God's taking care of you. God has got you. We don't have to give him our grocery list. We don't have to go to him and say, oh yeah, Abba Father, I got a test coming up. I got a report due. I got a rough week coming, Lord. Talked to a guy this afternoon who was hurting really bad, older guy, 80, hurting really bad. He said, I'm just going to trust God. What else can you do? You're just going to trust God. Lord, I got pains and you need to put me to this doctor and you need to take me there and you need to make it all go away and you need to figure it all out and you need to fix this. The Bible says your heavenly Father already knows you need all these things. Trust him with the little stuff. Trust him with the little stuff. For the Gentiles eagerly seek them, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow. Isn't it interesting that tomorrow gives us way more headaches than yesterday? Satan will remind you of the mess ups of yesterday, and he'll have you worried about all the stuff that's coming tomorrow. I can't handle tomorrow. I can't handle yesterday. But I can just today, right now, at this moment, be. Father God, I want you to just use me at this moment with this person that I'm about to speak to, that I'm about to meet. God, I'm going to the doctor. Lord, I'm about to see the doctor. And Lord, they just took my blood pressure. They just took my temperature. I'm sitting here in this gown. Modesty's all out the window. And I'm just really sitting here at the mercy of the world. And it seems like nobody will come and talk to me, but you're here. He's always in there. Lord, you already know what's in that clipboard. Or nowadays, God, you already know what's on that iPad. Let's go walk through it. I don't want to go through it. But I've seen others go through it. I've seen others suffer through it. I've seen others. Lord, I just know right here, as for me, at this very moment, God, I can't do nothing. I've just got a gown on and that's it. I can't do nothing. I'm naked under this gown. That's kind of where we are. That's where we are. We're just babies in daddy's hand. And you know what daddy's telling us? No matter if you're 40 or 50 or 30 or 80, he's saying, look, daddy still got you. Daddy knows what you need. Daddy knows what you need. Daddy loves you. Daddy sees you. Daddy's got you in the palm of his hand. Daddy's not on vacation. You don't have to tell daddy nothing about it. You just trust daddy. Let life happen. Because life's going to happen. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Storms come. It's amazing how, it's crazy. I can remember a couple years ago, it was just, I was on this theme of life's coming and stuff's coming and be ready. I didn't know what was coming. God sent us through a trial. And as we're going through trials, God sends the whole world through a trial. And I was just on this, I just couldn't shake it. It's like every time I was in front of them, it's like, be ready, life's coming. You're either here, going up, or you're going down, or you're somewhere on this journey, but life's coming, be ready. And here's what he's telling you, don't worry about it. The same God, remember boxcars? The same God that saw today's boxcar sees the one 6 months down the road. And look, He blessed me with good things today. He gave me breath. He gave me life. He gave me joy. He gave me more freedom than I deserve, more stuff than I deserve, better food than I deserve. He's given me better health than I deserve. And He knows what boxcar number 180 looks like down the track. But you know which one he says focus on? This one right here. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough going on in it. You right here, right now. Trust me. Oh, you of little faith. You right here, right now. Trust me. Oh, you of little faith. Let's pray. I want you to bow your heads. I don't know where you are. Are you a worrier? Don't raise your hand. Are you a worrier? Is that you? Is that you? You anxious right now? Something going on at home, something going on at work, something going on in your family? There's something going on in your social group, your small group. You've been hurting somewhere funny that nobody knows about yet. you know you need to tell somebody, but you just, I don't know if I want to start that can of worms just yet. I want you to hear something. Your Heavenly Father sees you right now. And He loves you. And He cares for you. And He's never going to leave you, and He's never going to forsake you. Worry robs you of joy. Worry robs you of contentment and peace and happiness. Worry robs moments that we can never get back. Precious things. Beautiful things. Once in a lifetime things we absolutely miss because we're so gripped by what's uncertain. And the Bible tells us that look at them birds. He takes care of them. Aren't you worth so much more? Look at the grass. Here today and gone tomorrow. Not even Solomon was clothed in such splendor. Aren't you so much more valuable? I want you to close tonight just with you right there in prayer. Talk to Him. Daddy's listening. Dear God, we come to You admitting that we're weak. God, we admit we waste time. We admit we may waste energy. We admit that we worry when we are clearly told we shouldn't. God, help our weakness. Help strengthen our faith. Strengthen our steadfast faith and calm assurance in You. God, we know that You're taking care of the little things in our life, the essential things in our life. You're providing things that, God, we take so for granted. God, we confess our sins, and we confess our worry, we confess our fear, our doubt, and our anxiety. We confess our anxious spirit. And God, we pray in the name of Jesus that You would replace that with a faith that is from You, a faith that is steadfast, a faith that is calm, a faith that is immovable, unshakable, grounded in the Word. That You tell us not to worry, not to be anxious for nothing, but within everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. God, we are laying our lives at Your feet. We're laying our health at Your feet, our bodies at Your feet. We're laying our spouses, our children, our grandchildren. We're laying our homes. We're laying our businesses, our jobs, our friends, our social groups. God, we're laying all of that at Your feet, and we are just giving it to You, and we're trusting You with it. Sure is, Lord. Thank You for Your calm presence. Middle of storms and valleys. And Lord, I don't know where this room's at. I don't know where those out there watching are. I don't know if they're in lions' dens or in the belly of whales. I don't know if they're, God, in the bottom of ships. Lord, I don't know if they're hiding. I don't know if they're running. I don't know if they've been caught and they're confessing. God, I don't know where they are. Holy Spirit of God, we pray right now as humbly as we can for revival to break out at Chapel Hill Baptist Church. We pray as humbly yet as boldly and as confident as we possibly can, coming to the one who can cause all things. God, draw sinners to yourself. Bring a newfound passion and energy and fire to your children, Lord. Help your church no longer be timid, no longer be anxious, no longer be worried, but God, be bold and confident, moving forward, trusting you completely, knowing that you are in control. You are in control of the details. You are in control of the little things, the essential things. You are taking care of the things that, Lord, we get so worked up in A, B, C, and God, the rest of the alphabet, we don't even give thought to. We trust you with it all, Lord. Take care of all of it. We give you ABC. We give you all of it. Holy Spirit of God, we give you this body. I give you this body. Do with on this hill, Lord, what you're going to do. Lord, I don't want them. I'm not here to be seen. I'm not here to be heard. But God, we don't want to make a name for ourselves. We want to do what your word says. Lift up Christ, and all men will be drawn to him. That's our heart's desire. Draw sinners, draw lost, draw people to you, God, and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.